Worried about letting someone else pick out the perfect avocado for your perfect impress them on the third date guacamole? Well, good thing Instacart shoppers are as picky as you are. They find ripe avocados like it's their guac on the line. They are milk expiration date detectives. They bag eggs like the 12 precious pieces of cargo they are. So let Instacart shoppers overthink your groceries so that you can overthink what you'll wear on that third date. Download the Instacart app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
Okay, picture this. It's Friday afternoon when a thought hits you. I can spend another weekend doing the same old whatever, or I can hop into my all-new Hyundai Santa Fe and hit the road. With available H-Track all-wheel drive and three-row seating, my whole family can head deep into the wild. Conquer the weekend in the all-new Hyundai Santa Fe. Visit HyundaiUSA.com or call 562-314-4603 for more details. Hyundai, there's joy in every journey.
Your ship has connected.
Hey, you the man, PDA.
America, the mothership has connected. Welcome aboard. It's the 4-hour deflector shield shindig. DA with you from the CBS Sports Radio studios in New York City, broadcasting to affiliates nationwide and north of the border. Anchorage to Atlanta, Omaha to Orlando, Kalamazoo, and Waterloo. We are on the air.
They listening, D.A. Everything we saying, D.A. Everything.
And a happy Tuesday. So glad you're with us. Thanks so much for joining us. Good show lined up for you coming your way later on this morning. Hour number 4, Brian Kenny, MLB Network. Some great baseball stories happening. If you can believe this, we've hit basically the midway point of the Major League Baseball season. Not yet the All-Star break, but most teams have played close to 80 games or right around there. So that's essentially the midway point. Can you believe this? We're at the midway point of the baseball season. We'll talk about big first half storylines and big second half ones as well. Brian Kenny will join us coming up on the show, hour number 4. Also, it's the final chapter of a saga that you didn't even know was still going on. Fatherhood at the Movies. I have 3 more films to go. We have finally made it to the final 3. Had I not reminded the crew that I had to finish this, we could have just set off into the sunset of the summer and never actually completed the series.
To be fair, I think a listener actually tweeted us and goes, are we ever going to get the rest of the list?
So I am finalizing that list. What were my top 3 movies watched during the overnight days of watching AJ right out of the hospital? We'll do that also, hour number 4. In 20 minutes, sound check. In 40 minutes, I've got a National Signing Day story for you. All that coming up this morning on the program. We begin with Gronk. I think we all know Gronk had a good time during his playing days. I think we all know that Gronk, like Spike, and Gronk, like beer, and Gronk, like women, and Gronk, like life. Yo soy fiesta. But would you ever peg one of the greatest tight ends of all time for being absolutely obliterated the night before a game and has to basically be risen back to life pregame on the trainer's table? That's what one of his former teammates said. This is now a point of controversy because Julian Edelman came out and said that is not true at all. Gronk was one of the most committed teammates I have ever had. There's always going to be a bit of a lore, mythology around Gronk because he was more public with his antics than many others. Certainly of this day and age, maybe way back when, a Joe Namath, the Sonny Jurgensen, the guys that were known as party animals, Ken Stabler, might have been able to get away with that. Today, you don't really get away with being kind of a a drunken lout before games. You're expected to be much more than that. And so would this change perception of Gronk if he was a drunken disaster? It is where we begin, your cold open.
I've read somewhere that you said that you believe your partying made you a better player.
Yes, in ways. So I've always said that, you know. It was kind of like my past to partying, you know. Everyone's like, Rob, you're partying too much, whatever. I just had a good time growing up. I'm from Buffalo, as you can see. The Bills Mafia. You watch the Bills Mafia. They're tailgating. They're jumping off RVs into tables.
Breaking tables.
That's how I grew up. Like, I'm from Buffalo. So
yeah,
we love to have a good time. We love to do crazy things like that. And then I realized, like, I was telling everyone, like, it makes me better if I party. Like, I'm a better player out on the field. And then I realized it. And then I went back and I was like, how do I party? Well, I'm carrying my friends, you know, throughout the bar. I'm holding them up. I'm lifting them. I'm curling them. They're on my back. I'm jumping up and down. And I'm dancing the whole time. Kind of like Austin Butler. I'm freaking gyrating. Like,
That's helping you.
Yes. And then I realized that translated to the football field.
Yeah.
The most amazing, sensational, dramatic, heartrending.
It's DA's top story.
Here he goes.
It's your cold open.
So that was Gronk on Jimmy Fallon a couple of months ago. I think his teammate's name that said this is Jake Beckett. Is that right? Jake Beckett, I believe, was a backup tight end, a practice squad defensive end, that got switched over to offense, but was basically in, off, on the roster, back and forth with the practice squad.
Yeah, the problem is he spells it Q-U, so you don't know if it's like Bequet.
Yeah. Unless he's French-Canadian, it's probably Jake Beckett. So whoever the hell Jake Beckett is said this, and this is what got this whole thing rolling, that Gronk apparently was a disaster. Beckett told Blaze TV's Primetime with Alex Stein that Gronk would get wasted the night before game days, unconscious to the point where the crew would have to drop him off at the team facility where he'd crash on one of the training tables. Then an hour or two later, the trainers would come in to start their workday. They'd come in, see Gronk sprawled out of the training table, fast asleep. They'd go over there, wouldn't wake him up, roll up one of his sleeves, stick an IV in his arm. After a couple of hours, he would wake up like Frankenstein, go out there and just kick ass. It was Edelman who said, this story is BS. Everyone wants to paint Gronk as a party animal. In reality, he had one of the most dedicated teammates I've ever had. I think the truth lies somewhere in between. Do I think there were Saturday nights where Gronk would go out in his heyday and Gronk would party it up? Probably there had to be a moment or two like that. And was Gronk such a monster that he could lie on the training table, get an IV, wake up, and go catch 12 passes for $122 and two touchdowns? Yes, that is absolutely plausible. But I also think that the Gronk spike, Gronk party thing was not really indicative of his commitment to football. Because I think around football, off days, off season, Gronk absolutely had his fun. I think in season, it would be very difficult for Rob Gronkowski to play the position that he did and get hammered, wake up, and go out and play that position. I think a little easier back in the day for a Ken Stabler, for a Sonny Jurgensen, for a Joe Namath, because you're kind of groggy. You're going over to the huddle. You're calling your own plays. And you're kind of like gunslinger getting it done. In modern NFL, in Belichick's offense, in the Brady offense, in the Patriot way, I don't think you're waking up bleary-eyed, half-tanked, and getting up and performing the way that he did. So I think, to me, it sounds like it was somewhere in between. But I also think that Gronk's party lifestyle is such a unique dynamic for modern sports because we don't really abide by that anymore. I think money got so huge, scrutiny got so intense that guys don't really have nightlifes before games. I mean, maybe James Harden strip clubs before NBA games. But most people don't think that many NBA regular season games matter much. In the NFL, I don't think that this is a common thing, and I don't think it would be applauded the way that it used to be, but it is part of the reason why I've always thought that Gronk lived by a second standard that most people don't. The people kind of applauded the Gronk party animal idea, dynamic, when they would say tisk tisk to a lot of other guys that would do that. Now, Gronk was amazingly productive. He's one of the great tight ends of all time. But there was something about Gronk's, like, just one big kid, how can you get mad at him, that people seem to applaud versus other guys that they would come down harder on. The other thing, though, is that Gronk was a second-round pick, and he was not a guarantee. A lot of back problems back in college. So the Patriots, who have had a really bad time drafting recently, this is one of Belichick's greatest draft picks ever. You can't even count Brady as a great draft pick because they had no idea. You don't draft the greatest quarterback of all time in the sixth round and think you got something. That's just a total flyer that happened to fall in their lap. But the Gronk pick was a late second-round pick, and everybody passed on him in the first round because of back issues and injury issues to Arizona, thinking that he would never hold up, and the Patriots took the risk, and obviously it paid huge dividends. 855-212-4CBS is the phone number, 855-212-4227. It is good to be back. You know, with all the moving parts around here, I was going to take this week off paternity leave. This is my second stint. Paternity leave wise.
Second stint on the IL.
That's right. But I said with the Mraz news and everything, let me come back. Let me work this week. I want to have the whole band back together. And what we found out is that in me cutting short the paternity leave, some other things stayed. Bogues is in studio with me. Bogues, you're not doing headlines today.
I'm not doing anything as Nothing. Far as that. Yeah, let's gloss over this. Let's move on quickly. Let's get the sound check. Let's
Bogus
point this
not
out
doing anything.
To nobody that I'm just kind of sitting here.
So Nothing. Who's doing headlines?
Pat Boyle's here today.
Boyle's
shirt on for the
shirt
moment.
On. So Pete is behind the board. Mraz is producing today, also on the other side of the glass.
Producing, as always. Loosely used.
Pat is doing headlines.
Correct.
And you're...
I'm here for whatever you need me to do,
Moral
DA.
Support?
I could be your emotional support co-host. I can get you some drinks. I can go to Dunkin'. You need to dig up some old embarrassing Sean sound. I can do that.
Ooh, okay.
I can chuckle. I can argue with you. As I texted you yesterday, you tell me what you need these next four mornings. I'm your guy. I'm a fixer.
Bogues is the intern. Bogues also so awkwardly uncomfortable with the role, he's decided not to sit directly next to DA. He's hidden himself in the
Oh, I would never sit in that chair. This is my seat.
Do you usually sit there when Mraz is in this seat?
Okay. Yes.
So what should we have Bogues do today? We have Bogues at our disposal.
Well, I mean, when you sent an email yesterday, there's some certain clips we might be looking for some Decade of DA stuff. Maybe we'll have him go out there. Maybe he makes a breakfast run. You know, we think about whatever we'd have an intern do.
Yeah.
I was wondering about that email that I sent yesterday that seemed to go unresponded to. I said, you know, with Mraz now, with the last couple of weeks to go, we could maybe do some Mraz-centric Decade of DA clips. And I said, there's also some amazing baseball stories happening, and this would be a great baseball week to get drilled down into some of the best stories. And I woke up today and saw no Decade of DA on the rundown, and a guest that clearly was not booked by Mraz because there's a plug separate.
Oh, no. Hold on. You got this all wrong.
Hold on.
Yesterday, I spent several hours trying to hammer down some of the guests you've asked for. Tomorrow, we will have John Sadek from the Reds on.
Awesome.
I did not want to leave us guestless your first day back
Hold on.
Who
booked John Sadek in like 11 minutes last night?
I did. I've had some trouble.
Bogues booked him.
See, I'm doing those things.
So Bogues been helping out now as another associate producer. I think he's interviewing for the role.
Okay.
Want Peach job.
Somebody tell the bosses Bogues is now in the interview process.
So I said, okay, if I can't get something localized today, who would be great on all the baseball stories? Brian Kenny, we love on the show. He's a staple. So I went to MLB Network. They have provided us Brian Kenny. Still waiting on a plug there. As far as the Decade of DA stuff, We're working on it. You asked for a specific decade of DA clip, which full disclosure, after a full day, we're going to... Feels like a needle in a haystack. So I thought today we would go over what days and what else we would specifically be going for because we haven't seen you.
Well, we can talk about the needle in the haystack one. I didn't think it was going to be that hard to find. It was the first time Mraz got coined Mraz because when he moves over to the local side of things, we can't talk about what city that station is in because there's the embargo going on right now. But in that radio station he'll work on, they're using his full name. It's not Mraz, Sean Morash. He's going to go back to his original identity, much like Batman going back to Bruce Wayne.
The corporate name.
The corporate name. On the
his
business
professional
card.
Professional name. Are you going to make sandwiches again, too, or just go back to Sean? How does that work?
So with that, I said, why don't we go back to the first time that he was coined Mraz? It was a caller from Salt Lake City who called up during the overnight days, a couple of months in, cited it like Jason Mraz, the pop star, and me and Kenny Brock thought it was the most hysterical thing ever. We started calling him Mraz kind of as a tease, and instead it just turned into his alter ego. So I didn't think it'd be that hard because you could just go back in time to when we were not calling you Mraz, and it had to have been that show. We went from Sean Morash to Mraz overnight.
No, you're right, although I'm clicking through because I'm not mentioned every show through those first couple months. So it happens after that.
Oh, I buried you the first couple of months?
Yeah, I mean, the 30 jerseys, 30 nights thing broke me out of the shell. There was a lot early on where I think, look, you wanted to limit my shots off the bench, right? And there were nights where you're going to test. If I hit a shot, maybe you'd throw me another pass. But if I didn't hit a shot, I was going to be benched for a little bit. The DH was very different early on. And the way that these things are saved in the archive is, for whatever reason, we didn't realize that that was going to be a big moment. So it's not saved as a 12 DA, like I got a nickname. It just, looking back, it's probably a big moment. These things are logged as half an hour intervals of every single show that ever existed. So imagine going through that many over the course of like a 4 month period to try to pinpoint when that actually happened.
Okay, well, we can all play this game of Clue here. 30 jerseys, 30 nights. Did we call you Mraz yet?
No. And that was February.
Okay, so it had to be after that.
Yeah, and I got through March, and it appears like you're still calling me by my regular name in March. That's where I've clicked around to
okay,
so far.
Okay, so we're into April then, perhaps. I wonder if there's any big benchmarks we can think of, things that happened. When you cried over Derek Jeter retiring, that was October of that year.
Well, that I want to go, my plan today was to go to July when we have our first ever Wienership, and I want to hear what I'm called then. So anyway, that is why I was going to talk to you. That might take me maybe until the final week of me to get because there is a lot more clicking that goes through. So I wanted to figure out two that might be more attainable this week to handle.
Okay.
So we haven't had a meeting of the minds yet.
Since we have extra hands all over the place now, since they're just basically giving us as much manpower as humanly possible, I mean, maybe they'll just give us somebody to go through all the archives.
Yeah, perhaps. I mean, yeah, we have an intern, but they're already abroad. So maybe we need both.
We have an intern abroad?
Yeah.
Both of them.
We hired
both of them?
We hired interns, and they both hit the bricks to Europe.
You're kidding.
All I'm going to say is interns were picked by somebody else.
Wait a second.
Once again, it's not Pete's fault.
That's right.
We hired two interns.
Yes. It's your first Monday here in months, but yes, we have an intern.
And they've wrapped up school for the year.
Yeah.
They knew this was their summer internship.
Started.
And they decided to go to Europe during the internship?
Yeah. Separately, too. They're not a couple.
Separately.
So, yeah, you'd think you'd do
and
one or the
nice.
Other, right?
Our intern, Brooke, was great those first 2 weeks we had her. And now I'm pretty sure she's in France or something.
And when does she come back, Pete? Do we know that?
Yeah,
I think next week.
And then, oh, that was
and
quick.
And then we have another intern who started the internship abroad and will be starting next week.
Yeah, cutting tape like Pierre Noe from England.
But it's like Ryder, you can't mention it.
Yeah, yes, exactly.
No, so, he's not in Lisbon. He's not doing this remotely.
The irony is we really could use an intern the next 2 weeks, and now we don't have them.
Somebody get the kid in the Madrid Cafecita back ASAP because we need Decade of DA.
I mean, it's noonish wherever he is, so let's get him on the horn here.
Right, Internet Cafe.
He has a Comrex that I don't have on Long Island.
Have him sign into the Burnley system and start cutting tape.
So I did some investigating just
now. Okay.
I went into the DA show fails from June 2013.
Okay.
So there's a fail listed as Morash on 6-3.
Oh!
And then there's something else that says Mraz swims with the Dolphins, and that's from 6-18-2013.
We've got the window! Pete's giving you the window between 6-3 and 6-18.
Here's the problem. I'm going to go to that window. My labeling was as shoddy as Pete's in the early days, and I may not have been fully embracing typing in my nickname. Also, if 5 days later I'm swimming with the Dolphins, that means I've returned from a full week vacation by then. So, but either way, June might be a good marker to go back.
And well, I remember that moment is when you actually were worried that you had drowned the Dolphin.
Correct. I can't believe that was year one. That was the same trip the rest of my hair singed off.
Yes, you went to swim with the Dolphins, and the trainer was like, hey, buddy, you got to let go of that Dolphin. That Dolphin is gasping for air.
They did. They told me abort. They waved me off.
Were you hugging it too tightly?
No, he was too heavy.
I was too heavy. He was like pulling me along, and I was like sinking. The Dolphin was struggling. They left me for the last...
Trying to eat it?
No, it was the last round of this. It was like 20 of us in an excursion group, and I was the last one to go. The Dolphin was already tired, so I flap on there, you know, after a bunch of bean burritos, and the Dolphin's flipper could not get going as it tried to pull me across the water.
Poor
and
Dolphin.
The guy with the whistle's like, abort! Abort! Abort!
The never. Worst possible circumstances. Tired, dolphin, heavy guest.
Never lived the same life again.
Yeah. There's a movie now about him.
Right. Pre-Willy.
4.
The orca that wasn't.
Did he really yell abort?
Abort.
Abort.
Abort. Abort.
It's amazing.
It was like he had one English word. Abort. Abort.
For the really heavy guests. He yells abort.
Imagine being...
Miguel knows one English word. Yeah. Abort.
But imagine being too healthy for a perfectly streamlined, pure muscle swimming expert, and he can't handle you.
That's right.
It outraces orcas.
That's right. Dolphins are like the strongest right. swimmers known to man.
The dolphin needed a cigarette after carrying me.
I feel terrible for that dolphin. That's going to make me depressed the whole day.
That thing is Usain Bolt in water. It goes, I can't do this. No. Abort.
No, we're done here. The dolphin looked like you after that Crave case. Exhausted, sweaty.
There is a limit.
Bloated. There is a limit. When we come back on the show, we've got Soundcheck, your best audio of the day. And Andrew Perloff from our Megan Perloff show weighs in on the Sandlot. Plus, it looks like there's a Jack Stern clip. Yippee! DA, CBS Sports Radio.
Call from mom. Answer it. Call silenced.
Instacart knows nothing gets between you and the game. That's why they make ordering from your couch easy. Stock up today and get all your groceries for the week delivered in as fast as 30 minutes without missing a minute of the game.
You have 47 new voicemails.
Download the app to get free delivery on your first 3 orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
Okay, picture this. It's Friday afternoon when a thought hits you. I can spend another weekend doing the same old whatever, or I can hop into my all-new Hyundai Santa Fe and hit the road. With available H-Track all-wheel drive and 3-row seating, my whole family can head deep into the wild. Conquer the weekend in the all-new Hyundai Santa Fe. Visit HyundaiUSA.com or call 562-314-4603 for more details. Hyundai, there's joy in every journey.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance, too, with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
CBS presents this program in color.
An educated person can't think he's going to get a recruit by strippers coming in.
They can fire you, but they can't eat you.
And they run through our ass like through a tin horn, man, and we could not stop them.
The audio you need to hear. It's DA Soundcheck.
Welcome back. DA with you here on CBS Sports Radio. Listen to us on hundreds of affiliates nationwide and also on Sirius XM, channel 158. Soundcheck is brought to you by Wesley Financial. Stuck in a timeshare? Want out? Contact Wesley Financial Group now. Get a free timeshare exit information kit at wesleyfinancialgroup.com. Soundcheck begins with Dak Prescott getting a little emotional when asked about what it would mean to win a Super Bowl.
I want to win a Super Bowl. I want to be right there with those two guys to say, won a Super Bowl for this organization. And then as a person, I want to be a hell of a player. They say he's a great player, one of the best Hall of Fame type player that when I'm done, they can say he was that type of player, but the person he was way better. Really, as much as I hope I impact and inspire other people, you guys got me today, got me this morning. A man my mom would be proud of, really. Yeah. Y'all got me. Good job.
It's a nice sentiment. You want a guy that cares about being respected and cares about doing the right thing. And so when he's citing the two quarterbacks there that have done it, Roger Staubach won two championships with the Cowboys. Troy Aikman won three championships. That's the five Super Bowls that the Cowboys have. Here's a question, guys. Dak Prescott wants to be named in that group. I think Staubach's one, and then Aikman's two in Cowboys quarterback history. Is Dak Prescott better than Tony Romo?
I think he is.
Dak Prescott's gone to two Pro Bowls. Tony Romo's went to four. Not that that's the end-all, be-all, but would you consider Dak Prescott a better quarterback than Tony Romo? Has he had a better career?
Yes, and I could tell you from rooting for an opponent we cannot name, I fear Dak Prescott more than Tony Romo.
Folks?
I don't think I can say yes yet. I think he has the ability to be better than Romo, but I don't think you can make a list of Dallas quarterbacks and put him ahead of Tony yet.
Pete?
Dak above Tony Romo. No question for me.
I think I align with Bogues. He'll probably get there, but the body of work is still not as long as Romo's was, right?
Well, but is the answer better career or better quarterback?
Yes. I guess I would say better career.
Okay, so of course Dak's career is not complete.
Yeah, better career is the
point. All right, he could completely fall off, continue these interceptions, and you have to look at Romo's longevity and go,
yeah,
Romo.
Like if this was what Dak was last year, if that's the new norm, he would not have a better career than Tony
right,
Romo.
Right, he might end up finishing somewhere. But at their height of their ability, I still believe Dak Prescott's the better quarterback. Hmm.
The peak of both of their careers, who was better? So, like, Dak 3 years ago before the injury.
Yeah.
Romo prime. Might be a push. They're about the same type of guy, right? I mean, poised for turnovers, not great in big games. Not sure either one of them elevated their teams all that much, did they?
I think the idea of Tony Romo was always better than the quarterback.
True.
Romo, coming off Quincy Carter and the Drew Bledsoe and the
quarterback. He was popular.
Yes, he was popular, charismatic. He was like, he spoke to be the next Cowboy quarterback. Dak came right off of Romo, so there was no lull there. I personally speaking, even if it's a single game, I'm taking Dak Prescott to win that game.
Probably right, because Romo was so bad in big spots. I mean, yeah. Atrocious in big spots.
Yeah. People will point to his fourth quarter comebacks, but yeah.
How many playoff wins do they each have?
I think Romo only had one.
I think Romo had one. Dak has had...
Dak has now two.
Dak's got the big two.
Yeah, the big two, exactly.
The big two. The one was the Phantom Flag against the Lions.
Yeah.
And then one was last year.
Wait a minute. Was the Lions Romo?
Yeah, I don't know.
That might have been Romo's only play.
That was right in between the transition. No, Romo had another one. He beat Washington 1 year. They're not really all that memorable, these Cowboy playoff wins, let me tell you.
Yeah, like I guess where I'm now kind of disagreeing with Sean is I don't...
Well, who's the quarterback of the Dez caught it game?
Hold on.
Wow, we don't even remember this.
Dak has two playoff wins, one versus Seattle, one versus Tampa.
Last year was the Tampa one.
2019 wild card game, they beat Seattle before losing to the Rams.
So Romo was the Dez Caudick game at Lambeau.
Correct. But
so
they shouldn't
Romo
have even
had the Phantom flag.
Win. Right. He shouldn't have even beaten the Lions. That game should have been a Cowboy loss.
That's correct. Probably Don Meredith is the third best Cowboys quarterback of all time, if you want to be honest. On to some internal workings here at CBS Sports Radio, of which we've had many recently. Here's Andrew Perloff, Maggie and Perloff, afternoons here on CBS Sports Radio, weighing in on The Sandlot.
I don't think it's a great movie. I think the corny effect is on high. It's like, and the big dog, and
well, it's a kid's movie.
Yeah, I know. I don't know why. Sandlot doesn't do it for me. I used to argue with Dan Patrick about this movie all the time.
Oh, Dan likes it.
There's a lot of people who like it. Listen, I do have a Rotten Tomatoes crit. The critics do not love Sandlot. Just felt like they were sort of playing on these sort of tropes about baseball and the backyard. And, like, to me, it wasn't as, I don't know, organic as some of the other movies. How obnoxious is that, though?
I align with Perloff in the spirit of trashing traditionally popular movies. Okay, I certainly can be cranky about movies. You heard my take on Smokey and the Bandit. I was wildly disappointed in that film. There's been many of these shows or movies that people say you'll love, then I see it and say, nah, it's really not that good. But The Sandlot, to me, checks the boxes you need in a kid's baseball film. The dog is the villain. You kind of need the villain that you don't see, that you build a mythology around. The kids, it's from a different era when going out to the Sandlot and playing baseball was a thing, which today, if you tried to do that, you'd be like, no way, those kids would always be on their phones. There's the scene with Wendy Peppercorn, when Squints tries to kiss her with the mouth to mouth, and that's a very iconic scene.
Yeah.
I think everything about the Sandlot's pretty awesome. The one kid has the old school Angels hat on with the actual halo around that. Yeah. I always love that little nod. The only thing that I thought was corny was that the final scene when the one kid becomes Vin Scully and then the other kid becomes the star of the Dodgers. It's like, well, let's remember there's Vin Scully here. This kid can't just jump in and elbow his way into Vin Scully's job.
Yeah.
Aside from that final scene, which was really, I think that Sandlot is pretty great.
If you switched out that final scene with Benny the Jet Rodriguez becoming an angel and this guy being the voice of the Angels, then I think it's a home run. Here's what's realistic about it, too. How many movies, Bad News Bears, Hardball, where the kids are in a little league and they're playing. This was about a core group of friends who barely had anybody to play except for the crosstown team that they would go play the one game with that. It was about them just playing baseball, the nine of them, and just doing at-bats and stuff like that. They never actually played in a league or anything, which I thought was really cool. It was like, scrap together as many friends as you can. This is the way we're going to play baseball.
And the characters of all the players live forever. Squints, Benny the Jet.
Great Hambino.
The Great Hambino.
Yaya.
Yaya. Then Wendy. I mean, you see people.
T-shirts,
people dressing up as them as Halloween. I mean, it lasts forever, so you got to give it credit there.
Yeah, and it is peppercorn, by the way.
Yeah, it's not peppercorn?
So. No, peppercorn. Sean, it's not peppercorn.
What a surprise. Sean's wrong.
Exactly. It's nearly perfect, that movie.
Wow.
And for full context, I'm pretty sure Perloff had, they were doing a list, top five baseball movies, and he had
original bit.
Right. He had The Natural first, and we all panned that in Mothership.
Yeah.
So
the movie stinks.
Right. There's that, too. Maybe he's just not a good judge of movies.
But if you're going to go watch The Sandlot looking for Casablanca, you're not getting it. You're getting something that's entertaining.
I think it might be baseball's Casablanca, to be honest with you.
Is it the best baseball movie? No, I would still go Field of Dreams. No. Field of Dreams of Major League is better.
A League of Their Own, yeah. I think
League of Their Own's excellent.
Great. Not The Natural. None of the Natural. Not on the list.
Not in the top three. Sandlot might be number four.
Yeah. Yeah, I mean, it's up there for me. Regardless, though, you can't call it corny and overrated. I think it checked a lot of... It actually did the opposite of become corny. It was realistic.
And it still ages pretty well. You still watch it, because we watched it for Mothership of the Movies a couple of summers ago.
And it's still solid. Every 4th of the... you go 4th of July, it's Jaws and Sandlot on every channel, and that's what you watch.
One, the kids get together, they play baseball. The other, kids get eaten by sharks. But, you know, it's all good.
Iconic 4th of July movie.
It's good to go back to back like that. It teaches you enjoy the Sandlot times, because when you get older and you start to sail, the sharks come and get you.
That's right.
Time's limited.
You're going to need a bigger boat.
Exactly.
I guess I also appreciate nostalgia movies, and that's a good nostalgia movie.
Mm-hmm.
Finally, Jack Stern. Apparently, he was with Shep last night.
Oh, yeah. JR was out.
JR was out, so Shep was hosting.
And then they slide Jack into the Shep chair. I mean, iconic duos.
Excellent. Let's hear it.
And I just feel like the hammer has not been dropped in terms of making a significant move in terms of having someone lose their employment. I never am a supporter and advocate of that. But it seems like that needs to take place. And for some reason, it seems like Steve Cohen is being a little bit hesitant with that. And I think a major shakeup is needed. The Yankees, Jack, this is not the show for that. We don't do that on the JR Sport Brief. We do that on the DA show, but thank you for interjecting your, and by the way, why did I get a womp womp for that? You explain to me why I got a womp womp since you're going there.
Because it's like you're talking about the gloom and the doom of the organization. I was going to play it when Pete was talking, actually, but.
Don't you ever play a sound over Pete McCarthy.
Okay, I'll never do that again.
Do not do that on this show.
Random drop out of nowhere. That makes total sense, Jack.
I can't tell if Shep is being serious there. Don't you ever do that on this show. We do not do sound effects on the show. That is totally the territory of the DA show.
Let Pat McCarthy talk.
Pete McCarthy.
Pete McCarthy. Whatever.
Pat McCarthy.
He's a Mets, Mets crew.
Or... is what Stern is trying to do there. Is he trying to do their own Morty D'Souza?
I think she's trying to copycat, a little copycat league there.
Yeah, really.
Don't you ever disrespect the McCarthy.
Jack.
So, get off the table, Jack.
So do we think that Shep is getting fed up with Jack?
In what is the unbelievable CBS radio, sports radio vortex, Shep is now in a host chair being fed up with somebody's antics on the other side of the glass.
Karma's tough.
The next 10 years.
Yeah, that's the future.
I like Shep as a host.
I do, too. Genuinely do.
And I love him with JR. I think it's great.
He's kind of like Rich Gannon at the end with the Raiders. Like, it just took him a while. He's winning MVPs. He's in a Super Bowl.
Yeah, no, Shep's really good.
I think the thing I like about it is he's really working hard at it.
Yeah.
And we like him.
Yep.
You know?
Totally.
I'm glad he's on the rise with this. It's a good thing to hear.
Yeah, what he doesn't need is the guy on the other side of the glass dropping in sad trombones for some type of humor or comedic relief in the middle of a Buck Showalter take.
You don't do that, JR Sport Brief Show.
You do not do that around here.
Some moron trying to get over.
We must respect this house. We do not do sound effects around here. That is the DA show stuff. And that is your sound check. How exciting is this? We have a full house. I come back one day. Bogues is just hanging out. He's a co-host today. This is amazing. Pete and Mraz are here. And Pat Boyle, a.k.a. Tom Doyle. Last time I saw you, I believe, was at the Bob's Bar show.
That is correct.
A day in which you were a real dog.
Yeah.
In a good way.
Dog! Yes. Had to be.
Yeah, you had to be the dog.
You got a Bogush and a Boyle. You got a Bilotti and a Bogush and a Boyle and a Bogush and a Bilotti here.
So good to have you on Headlines.
Yes, it's. I'm happy to be here.
We leading with a little College World Series?
Oh, of course, yeah. First, we're sponsored by Progressive Insurance. Insurance for motorcycles, boats, and RVs. For protection on the road and on the water, see how much you can save at 1-800-PROGRESSIVE and progressive.com. So, yeah, we do.
Ow!
We start in Omaha, where they ran out of all the Jello shots and the Gators ran out of outs.
One ball, two strikes to Pearson. And he lines this one to right. That ball is well hit. Evans going back. It is gone.
Ow.
Fourth home run of the year for Josh Pearson. And the LSU Tigers are roaring in Omaha.
Kevin Kugler, Westwood One Sports, to call LSU Tigers national champions after throttling number 2 Florida in the winner-take-all Game 3 of the Men's College World Series. 18-4, the final score. LSU wins its 7th title, first natty since 2009. The Tigers become the first Division I school to win a baseball and basketball national championship, men's or women's, in the same year. So, we're a little strapped for time, but we do have to talk about this Jell-O shot situation at some point this morning.
Yeah, I'd like to get into that. I hear Omaha was a party.
Oh, yeah. Yeah. Over to Major League Baseball. Julio Rodriguez had 3 hits. Mariners erased a 3-1 deficit to take down the Nats, 8-4. J.P. Crawford and Eugenio Suarez went deep for the M's.
Eugenio.
And an Arlington Tigers starter, Matthew Boyd, left the game with an elbow injury in the first inning. The man that relieved him, Will Vest, he left the game next inning with knee discomfort, but the bats did the job for Detroit. They took down the Rangers 7-2. Andy Ibanez, Jake Rogers had home runs for the Tigers. In Los Angeles, a wild ending.
The next pitch, it's low, it gets away from the catcher, Grandal. Trout will score, and the ball game is over. So, boy, what a gift win tonight. A walk-off win for the Angels on a wild pitch brings in the winning run.
Angels Radio, Mike Trout comes home on the wild pitch for a 2-1 walk-off win over the White Sox. Shohei Ohtani took flight again in this game. A 446-foot crank shot tied the game at 1. That's 26 for Shohei to retake sole possession of the Major League lead. Really quickly over to the ice. No surprise, Connor McDavid won his 3rd Hart Trophy last night as the MVP of the NHL. McDavid received 195 first-place votes. One lone other single voter voted him 5th.
How bizarre is that?
Yeah, I saw Zach Gelb call that person a jabroni on Twitter yesterday.
He's right.
Everybody in the league voted Connor McDavid an MVP, and then one guy didn't put him 2nd, 3rd, or 4th, put him 5th.
Some people deserve to have their pen, their votes taken away. It's
probably a baseball writer.
Perhaps.
Same guy that...
Richard Justice.
It could be Jack Stern. 196 voters for these awards? Who's not voting for them?
With Canadian bacon, Mraz should get a vote. Whoa!
Really should,
He's
man.
As big a part of the right. NHL media community these days as anybody.
And King of the Oinks voted Connor McDavid 2nd.
It's Mraz and Pierre Maguire voting on these things.
Mraz, not Sean Morash.
That's Mraz. Right. It's only Mraz.
Correct. And Linus Ullmark won the Vezina Trophy as the league's best goaltender. Ilya Sorokin of the Icelanders finished 2nd. A big trade last night as well. Bruins traded former MVP Taylor Hall to the Blackhawks. Hall goes with the rights to free agent Nick Foligno. Boston gets back defenseman Ian Mitchell and Alec Regula. This gives the Blackhawks a top-line vet winger that they can pair with Connor Bedard.
Wow!
That's right. Who is going to be no doubter of a number one pick in the NHL draft on Wednesday as Victor Wembanyama was. And finally, NBA. There also was a trade yesterday afternoon worth mentioning here on the DA. Hawks traded John Collins to the Utah Jazz for Rudy Gay and a future 2nd-round pick, essentially a salary dump for Atlanta. Collins is owed $78 million over the next 3 years. Now Atlanta can explore an extension for DeJounte Murray. And we got some football news coming up along with other baseball scores.
Thank you, boys. When we come back here on the show, I've got a great signing day story for you. DA, CBS Sports Radio.
Why is he better than Dixieland Dan? Why is he better than Moist Pork? Why is he better than Hawaiian Tony Danza? Why is he better than Art Art Bobart? Why is he better than any of them? Why? Why?
The DA Show on CBS Sports Radio.
Stream us on your phone, won't you? For free, use the free Odyssey app or the free CBS Sports app. Now, how about this? National Signing Day is kind of weird these days because there's one in February, there's one in December, and so I kind of mislabel this. It's not really a National Signing Day story. It is, though, a commitment from a high school player. Ryan Pelham is a 4-star wide receiver, okay? He's class of 2024. Okay, so he's a junior, just finished up his junior year. This wide receiver is kind of a 2-way star out of Long Beach, California, has just announced that he is committed to USC. It was between USC and Oregon. Now, how he did this was there was a baby in USC Trojans gear to announce his decision yesterday, okay? So Ryan Pelham, I just want to restate this. Ryan Pelham is a class of 2024, just finished up his junior year in high school. Oregon, USC, the baby in the picture was wearing USC clothing, and that's how he committed. Guys, the baby is his. You are the father. Ryan Pelham finished up his junior year in high school and just had a kid. I'm 44, just had a kid. I saw this and said, no way.
Oh, come on.
Now, sometimes these players use their nieces, their nephews, you know, things like their little cousin. This was his son. Could you imagine going into senior year high school, the summer between junior and senior year, and having a kid?
I mean, he and I had much different high school experiences. He might have been doing some pipe laying. I was laying mozzarella sticks at Applebee's.
I couldn't believe this. Right now, Pete's face is so quizzical.
When he's 30, the kid is going to be in his teens.
Honestly, we will see his son's college commitment here coming up here shortly.
All right, about 20 minutes.
I'm thinking about how I'm overwhelmed in my 40s with a newborn. How would I feel if I was trying to finish out high school?
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law. This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
Okay, picture this. It's Friday afternoon when a thought hits you. I can waste another weekend doing the same old whatever, or I can conquer it. I can hop into my all-new Hyundai Santa Fe and hit the road. Any road. The steeper, the better. Because my all-new Santa Fe is available with H-Track all-wheel drive, so I can hit the trail without a worry in the world. Heck, with three rows and best-in-class rear cargo space, I can pack the whole family in with all our gear. We've got available dual wireless charging for our phones, so we'll never lose touch with civilization, and we won't lose touch with the primordial power of Mother Earth. So which is it? Waste the weekend or do something a little more epic and conquer it in the all-new Hyundai Santa Fe. Visit HyundaiUSA.com or call 562-314-4603 for more details. Hyundai, there's joy in every journey.